Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 34 this evening. We're going to study. I don't think we'll get through the book of Genesis by end of this year, so we'll make it next year. Genesis chapter 34, we just move along at the pace of our good Lord. And there's some wonderful teaching here that will be of help, I believe, to the Christian life here in Genesis chapter 34. Let's read verses 1, 2, and 3, and then we will pray. Genesis chapter 34, verses 1, 2, and 3. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamar, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. And he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. Let's bow for prayer. Our God, we're so thankful for that wonderful peace that is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And Lord God, we are thankful that we can access that peace by faith in the Lord Jesus as personal Savior. We pray, O God, that as we look to you, that you would now fill us with your blessed Holy Spirit, that we might have a true sense of that peace as you guide us and teach us from your precious word, the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Here in Genesis chapter 34, this is a very sobering chapter, to say the least. And to be honest with you, I wanted to avoid the chapter. I wanted to avoid teaching on this chapter of the Bible. But we cannot avoid the Word of God. You cannot avoid parts of the Word of God. It is all the Word of God. And the Bible being the complete, inerrant, inspired Word of God, it is given for us to bring profit. So to have the attitude, well, I'm not going to read that part of the Bible, or I'm not going to teach on that part of the Bible, you are denying God's people. And you are denying yourself personally of spiritual growth and edification. So God has given us some instruction here in this wonderful chapter that will help us, I believe, in our walk with God. The setting of this chapter is simply this. Jacob decided to settle in a place called Shechem. The Bible teaches that at the bottom of page of chapter 33, verses 18 and 19. He decides to settle there. He finally, after 20 years, leaves his uncle's place, Laban, makes his way back where he's meant to be. And on his way back, he enters into Canaan and he settles at this place called Shechem. Now, the people that lived in Shechem were known as the Hivites. The Bible teaches us there in chapter 34, verse 2. They are a Canaanite tribe, and the Bible teaches us that their chief was a man by the name of Hamor. Hamor had a son, which he called Shechem, after the city that they lived in. And this group of people, being Canaanites, did not worship the God of Jacob. Did not worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the Bible teaches us that Jacob purchased a field, and there to justify his actions, there in verse 20 of chapter 33, the Bible teaches us that he built an altar unto God. Now, it's important that we understand that Jacob was in the land of Canaan. He was in And you and I might ask the problem, so what's the issue? I'm glad you've asked. The issue is that God told Jacob to settle at a place called Bethel. That was the issue. So Jacob is technically in, but he is not all the way in. He settles here in a place called Shechem amongst Canaanites. But God made it very clear to Jacob, Jacob, I want you to go back to Bethel. Note there in chapter 28, please. Let's confirm that very fact so it's clear. Note there in chapter 28, verse number 19, Jacob has this experience with God, and he makes a vow to God. And the Bible teaches us at this very place, in verse 19, that he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Now go to chapter 31, please. Chapter 31, verse number 13. Chapter 31, verse number 13. It reads, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest a pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out of this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. So God made it very clear to Jacob, Jacob, I want you back at Bethel. But Jacob settles at a place called Shechem. He was in, but he was not all the way in. He was obedient, but he was not fully obedient. And this led to some dangers in his life and family. God was very specific with Jacob. Jacob was to be in Bethel. God wanted Jacob to be in Bethel, the place of his conversion. So likewise, God has a specific will for each of our lives. And that is the exact location he wants you and I to be in. He doesn't want us to settle close by. God wants us to be fully in. God wants us to be in Bethel, not at Shechem. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 12 that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, that God might reveal to us His good and acceptable perfect will. Many of us have convinced ourselves that God is well pleased with us because we are in Shechem. We're in the land. But hang on there. God said to Jacob, I want you to be in the land, yes, but I want you to be returned to Bethel, your place of conversion. I want you to return to Bethel, but Jacob settled in Shechem. But God wanted him to be in Bethel. Bethel is specifically and clearly spelled out by God to Jacob. So we see in the life of Jacob partial obedience. And may I submit to you, my friend, that partial obedience is disobedience. And many of God's people, they are in, but they are not all the way in. They are living in Shechem. And they are justifying their place in Shechem by even building an altar to God and say, well, God, I'm in. But hang on, God has a specific will for your life and my life. And just like God said to Jacob, I want you to return to the land and I want you to go back to Bethel. But Jacob misses that point. And for reasons known only to himself, he buys land there in Shechem and he settles in Shechem and he builds an altar unto God there in Shechem. But it wasn't Bethel. It was not Bethel. And I'm afraid that many of God's people, maybe some here tonight, you've pitched your tent in Shechem. But God wants you to be in Bethel. Oh yes, you're in, but you're not all the way in. Let me illustrate. We are in church bodily. I can see that tonight. You're here. I can see your physical body. But what about your heart? Is your heart here? Or are you just here in body because you need to be in church? Otherwise, pastor will ring me on Monday and Tuesday and say, where are you? You're in, but you're not all the way in. You're in Shechem, but you need to be in Bethel. You're a church member, but you're not serving God within the church. You're in Shechem, but you're not in Bethel. Beloved, if you're a member of this church, God wants you to serve. And don't sit around waiting for pastor to volunteer you. Why don't you hassle me? Why don't you delight my soul? Say, pastor, what can I do for the Lord within this local church that God has placed me in? Are you in Shechem or are you in Bethel? What about the fact that many of God's people, we try to live out the Christian life, we try to be a good testimony, but yet we won't open our mouths for one moment and share Christ verbally with anybody? That's the difference between being in Shechem and Bethel. In, but not fully in. But pastor, I'm in. But beloved, there's a danger of not being fully in. There's a danger in abiding in Shechem as opposed to being right in the very center of God's will in Bethel. Did not God say to Jacob, go back to Bethel? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes. Where does Jacob settle? Shechem. Shechem. And he buys land in Shechem. Why is he buying land in Shechem? God said, I'm going to give you the land. What is he doing buying land in Shechem when God said, I'm going to give you the land? See, Jacob was in, but he was not all the way in. And there are some dangers of pitching your tent in Shechem. And this evening I'd like to note some principles. The danger of living on the edge of Shechem. That's the title of my sermon tonight. The danger of living on the edge of Shechem. Jacob paid dearly for this partial obedience. And I'd like for us to note some principles from this chapter that might be a sober warning to you and I that if we are in Shechem right now, listen, pack up your tent, get to Bethel. Otherwise, you'll pay dearly for it. And this chapter is the evidence of a high price that Jacob paid because he chose to abide in Shechem and he failed to move on to Bethel. In but not fully in. This is living on the edge of Shechem. And there are some dangers in living this way. Let's note some of those dangers. The first danger I'd like for us to note is found in verse number 1 of chapter 34. The danger of peer pressure from wrong influences. See, if you abide in Shechem, you are opening yourselves up to peer pressure. Pressure from wrong influences. Note there in verse number 1, the Bible teaches us that Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, to Leah, went out to see the daughters of the land. Why did she want to spend time with the daughters of the land? Why did she want to spend time with Canaanites? Why? Well, she was just a normal young lady, no doubt, wanting companionship. Are we right or not? Nothing wrong with that in itself. And we have to bear in mind, she is the only daughter of the family. She's got a bunch of brothers. And it's okay for them. They've got one another to keep themselves, you know, have company with one another. But who's Dinah got? So what does she do? She seeks companionship from the daughters of the land, the Canaanites. Dinah opened herself up to wrong influence in her life because of where she was located. And may I submit to you, this is Jacob's fault. Jacob is to blame. Why does Jacob settle there in Shechem? If he went on to Bethel, we can be assured of the fact that Dinah would have had good company there. Because God wanted him and his family to be in Bethel. But no, Jacob remains in Shechem. And in Shechem, Dinah is influenced. She seeks out the daughters of the land, Canaanites, people that didn't worship the God that she worshipped, the God that her father worshipped, the God that her mother worshipped, the God that her brothers worshipped. She seeks out the daughters of the land. And beloved, one of the dangers of living on the edge of Shechem is the peer pressure, the potential pressure from wrong influences. You will open yourself up to wrong influences if you choose to hover around Shechem instead of moving on to Bethel. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communication corrupt good manners. Dinah, why was she seeking companionship from the daughters of the land? Well, she was just a young lady wanting friends. But she paid dearly for it. And this would have never have happened if Jacob had obeyed God and led his family back to Bethel. Note there in James chapter 4, please, verse number 4. James chapter 4, please, verse number 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is the enemy with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Why on earth would Jacob settle there in Shechem? Amongst the Canaanites, amongst the Hivites that did not worship his God. Why? Why? He paid very dearly for it. He opened his family up to wrong influences. Note then Proverbs chapter 1, please. Are you still with me? Look at Proverbs chapter 1. In verse 10 it reads, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Consent thou not. You and I as God's people need to stand for the glory of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. But yet at the same time, the Bible teaches us, abstain from all appearance of evil. And if you choose to abide in Shechem, you will pay the price. Jacob made a mistake. Jacob should not have settled his family there in Shechem. It opened up his family to pressure that was unneedful. There's enough pressure in the world without you and I living in the very midst of it. We live in a godless day, do we not? Why live in the very midst of it? Why be in Shechem when God wants us to be in Bethel? Peer pressure. from wrong influences. That's one danger of living on the edge of Shechem. But also go back to Genesis chapter 34. We see the tragedy here that Dinah is defiled. She's defiled. She is taken advantage of. Very sad. Very sad. By Shechem, the son of Hamor. He exercised his influence, his position, and the Bible teaches us that he defiled this young lady. And my friend, may I submit to you, if you and I live on the edge of Shechem, not only do we open ourselves up to peer pressure from wrong influences, the daughters of the land, but also you will be defiled in some way. You will be defiled in some way. She was victimized because of where her father chose to live and the position that she placed herself in by seeking out the daughters of the land. Beloved, partial obedience is an open door to defilement. Partial obedience is an open door to defilement. She should not have been here. She should have made her way back to Bethel with her father and family. But because she was in Shechem, she opened herself up to peer pressure and she opened herself up to danger that she would not have had if she'd been in Bethel. Living on the edge of Shechem will lead to defilement in some way. Mark my words. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, please. Lot is a classic example of that. Second Peter 2, verses 7 and 8. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. See, Lot pointed his tent towards Sodom, and he paid dearly for it. It vexed his soul spiritually. The Bible calls him a righteous man. He was positionally righteous, but he wasn't practically righteous. His soul was vexed. His soul was polluted with the wickedness and the filth of the world that prevailed within the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And beloved, many of God's people that abide there in Shechem, they are being defiled. Oh, but pastor, I'm okay. No, you're not. No, you're not. You are being defiled. If you are out of the perfect will of God, if you fall short of Bethel for your will, you are being defiled in some way. Yes, you are. Dinah was defiled. You will be defiled, either physically, emotionally, spiritually, you'll be defiled. And that is a danger of living on the edge of Shechem. How are you being defiled by living in Shechem? How are you grieving and quenching the blessed Holy Spirit? See, poor Dinah couldn't combat the onslaught of Shechem. This man overpowered her, defiled her. How sad, how sad. But this would never, listen to me, this would never have happened if they'd been in Bethel. Pastor, how do you prove that? God's will. God said Bethel. Bethel it is. I do not believe for a moment that Dinah would have been defiled at Bethel, because that's where God wanted them. But because Dinah and her family were outside of the perfect will of God, oh yes, they were in, but they were not all the way in. She was defiled. And listen to me, the world, the flesh, and the devil are powerful. And don't you ever think that you are strong enough to combat it on your own. If you remain in Shechem, you will pay the price. You will be defiled. How did sin enter into the world? The Bible teaches us through the sin of Adam and Eve. Question. What was Eve doing hanging around the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Talk to me. What was she doing? What did she expect to prove? Didn't God say, you may eat the fruit of any, but not of this tree? What was she doing hanging around the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? She was in the wrong place. She was in Shechem. And the rest is history. Living on the edge of Shechem will mean defilement. It's only a matter of time. The world, the flesh, and the devil are powerful forces for evil. And this is why the Bible calls you and I as His people to a life of holiness, a life of separation from the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Powerful. Powerful. Go back to Genesis chapter 34. Note then verses 3 and 4. What happens here? That Shechem, the son of Hamor, has just defiled Dinah, and the Bible teaches us in verse 3 and 4, and his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. And he loved the damsel. Liar. And spake kindly unto the damsel. And note verse 4, and Shechem spake unto his father Hamor. This is the son telling the dad, get me this damsel to wife. That's been done before by a man by the name of Samson. The danger of living on the edge of Shechem. Number one, you open yourself up to pressure, peer pressure from wrong influences. Number two, you will be defiled in some way. Don't kid yourself that you can abide in Shechem, you can partially obey God, and you won't be defiled at all. You'll maintain your measure of purity. That's nonsense. Number three, this is a very, very important point. You will lose unretrievable ground. Please write that down. Very, very important. You will lose unretrievable ground. Dinah is defiled. That cannot be reversed. Yes or no? Unretrievable ground. My Bible teaches me marriage comes before any physical relationship. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. To avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, let every woman have her own husband. Marriage comes before physical relationship. Shechem has it round the other way.
And now he's going to try and sugarcoat this whole situation by calling his father into his office and say, Daddy, Daddy, I want to marry that pretty girl called Dinah. Beloved, living on the edge of Shechem, you will lose unretrievable ground. This situation is an unequal yoke for a start. It is a moral impurity issue. This is unretrievable ground. Dinah will never be the same. The family will never be the same. And who is to blame? Jacob pitched his tent in Shechem. God said, Bethel, Bethel for you, my son. And beloved, if you and I live long enough in Shechem, you will pay for it. You will be defiled and it will be unretrievable ground. She's defiled, end of story. Whether Shechem marries her or not, she's a defiled woman. What ground are you losing that you will never retrieve? Because you're choosing to live in Shechem. I think of King David. God forgave him for his sin with Bathsheba. But his life was never the same. Turn with me, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Second Samuel chapter 12, note then verses 9 and 10, the Bible reads, Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Note verse 10. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Note that little phrase, the sword shall never depart from thine house. Beloved, God forgave David. But he was scarred for life. There are consequences for our sin. Oh yes, there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. But if you and I abide in Shechem and we fall prey to the pressure of Shechem and we are defiled in Shechem and we are taken advantage of in Shechem, that's unretrievable ground. God forgives. Say amen to that. But when you and I abide in Shechem and make wrong choices and pay for it, that's unretrievable. God said to David, the sword will never depart from my household. From then on, he had some serious issues in his family, did he not? That literally broke his heart. Who is to blame? David. Scarred for life. Beloved, you'll be scarred for life by your wrong choices. Forgiveness, yes, but you will reap the consequences of your sin. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap, the Bible teaches us. You plant tomato seeds, you will grow tomatoes eventually. It's as simple as that. You abide in Shechem, you'll pay for it. It will defile you. And you will lose unretrievable ground. Go back to chapter 34, please. Note then verses 5 and 7. one other point I'd like to stress tonight. Look at verses 5, 6, and 7. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. So somehow Jacob heard that Shechem, the son of Hamor, had defiled his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it. And the Bible reads, and the men were grieved, and they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel, lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. The danger of living on the edge of Shechem. Number one, you open yourself up to pressure. Peer pressure from wrong influences. Number two, you will be defiled in some way. Number three, you will lose unretrievable ground. And number four, it will affect those that you love. It will affect those that you love and that love you. We see penetration here. When the family found out, the Bible teaches us in verse 7, they were grieved. And note also verse 7, and they were what? Very wrong. It doesn't say they were a little bit ticked off. In fact, it doesn't say that they were angry. It doesn't just say they were wroth. Wrath is uncontrollable anger. I mean, this is fuming stuff. This is fire-breathing stuff. The Bible says they were very wroth. Very wroth. They were grieved. They were very wroth. They were affected. They were affected. And because Jacob chose to pitch his tent in Shechem, disaster strikes. It not only affects his daughter, she's defiled for life, loses her purity overnight, but it affects the brothers. They're grieved and they're very wroth. And that wrath doesn't end here. And we'll see. Boy, their wrath expresses. And we'll see that next week. But I want to just leave you with this thought. There is a huge danger in living on the edge of Shechem. I trust I've convinced you of that fact tonight. Listen to me. Some of you are living in Shechem right now. You're here, but you are not really here. You are in Shechem, beloved. You are opening yourself up to pressure from wrong influences because you're not in Bethel. And because you're in Shechem, you will be defiled. Yes, you will. You're being defiled right now. Because you know in your heart, you are not in Bethel. You are not in the very center of God's will. Oh, but Pastor, I'm in. You're in Shechem. God told Jacob to go where? Bethel. Been defiled. And by being defiled, you will lose unretrievable ground in some way. Dinah lost her purity. That's it. Defiled. A defiled woman. That will plague her for the rest of her life. And beyond that, this situation infects the family. They're grieved and they're very wrong. And when you and I choose to pitch our tents in Shechem, it will affect those that we love. When you live on the edge of Shechem, you will drain the virtue of those around you. And it could lead to an unspiritual reaction. And we will see this very fact in the coming week. Our partial obedience will have some effect on those closest to us. Whether it be a friend, whether it be your children or the parents, no man is an island. When you and I choose to live in Shechem in our hearts, it will lead to defilement, we will lose unretrievable ground, and it will potentially affect others. You can just imagine how those brothers must have felt. How Jacob must have felt. No doubt regretting pitching his tent in Shechem. And Lord willing, in the week to come, we will note some further dangers of pitching our tent in Shechem. The danger of living on the edge of Shechem. But I think that's enough for tonight. I want you to meditate on those four principles. Jacob was in, but he wasn't all the way in. What about you? Are you in? Oh, Pastor, I'm in. But are you all the way in? Are you pitching your tent in Bethel where God wants you to be? Or are you pitching your tent in Shechem? God said Bethel, not Shechem. But, Pastor, it's still in the land. No, God said Bethel. Bethel, where you were converted, where I spoke to you, where you saw angelic beings ascending, descending from heaven. Bethel, Bethel, that's where I want you to return to. But he settles for Shechem. May God help us to learn from this passage of Scripture. And my friend, if you find yourself in Shechem, I want to encourage you in your mind, pull those pegs out, put them in the bag, roll up your tent, put it under your armpit, and march to Bethel. Do it tonight. And you will save yourself undue pressure, defilement, the potential of losing unretrievable ground. And by being in Shechem, you're not an island, you will affect others. The brothers were grieved and very wroth. Let's bow for prayer.